Lead in water is a problem in Pennsylvania's cities and communities and in many other places in America. But we didn't talk about it much before Flint. The city of Flint, Michigan has become a symbol for environmental injustice, a largely poor, majority black city where the public water supply became poisoned by lead after Michigan officials changed its water source to save money. The Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier was in Flint recently at the Society of Environmental Journalists annual conference, and he got a firsthand look at the lead crisis there. Hi, Reed.
Hey, Kara.
So it's been about 3 years since the Flint water crisis made national headlines. What's the latest that's happening with Flint's water?
So Flint changed its water supply back to its original supply from Detroit that it had been using before the crisis, and it's replaced a lot of lead service lines. Those are the lines that go from the street to the house, and frequently, like in Pittsburgh, in Flint, they're made out of lead. The lead levels in water have returned to below the EPA standard, so that's the good news. But the bad news is, even though the city's water is now technically clean, many people still aren't using it. They don't trust it. The state of Michigan stopped providing bottled water earlier this year. They had been providing bottled water in these drop-offs in sort of church parking lots around the city. But there are still these pickup locations scattered around the city. And when we were driving by, I saw one of them with people just handing out cases of water. And those are being provided through private donations. We heard from one resident of Flint, Tia Ivory. She said she takes very quick showers because the water still gives her rashes. And another problem, she says, there's a stigma for people like her when folks find out she's from Flint.
We go places, people like, are you clean? Is your water still dirty? You know, why wouldn't I be clean? I would hope so, but that somebody else would think I would be physically filthy from bathing in our water is terrible.
We can really hear it in her voice.
Yeah. I mean, the anger, the lack of trust in the water, the sort of feeling like people outside of Flint have turned their back on them is pretty widespread. And you go back to this idea that people don't trust the water. Multiple people told me they collect rainwater to drink rather than use the public water. It's pretty remarkable. Some won't even give it to their pets or use it on their flowers. They're still afraid of what's in the water.
And I understand that a Legionnaires' outbreak was also attributed to the water crisis.
When the city changed water supplies, they changed the water treatment regime, and Legionella bacteria, the cause of Legionnaires' disease, built up in the water system. There's still disagreement as to why that happened. Some say it's because there were low levels of chlorine in the water. Others say the new water source has warmer temperatures and that's better for bacteria buildup. But the long and the short of it is a dozen people died from this outbreak and dozens more became sick. And we met one of these people, Jasmine McBride, who was in the hospital for months and still struggles with health issues.
I went from, first off, not being able to walk, talk, eat, move. I mean, it was like having to learn everything all over again.
She said she went into the hospital in August and woke up weeks later, many weeks later. Doctors thought she wouldn't make it. That's how bad her illness got. And this is just one of those under-the-radar impacts of a crisis like this.
Yeah, this is not something that we've heard a lot on the national news. What is the overall feeling that you got from the people that you talked to there?
Mainly, people feel that they were betrayed by the people and agencies and governments meant to protect them. And there's a strong feeling that a lot of this neglect would not have occurred in wealthier, whiter communities. We heard from Deborah Fur Holden. She's a public health scientist and director of the Flint Center for Health Equity Solutions. She says that, you know, remember, this crisis was started by a cost-saving measure, not by the city's elected officials, but by the state-appointed emergency manager who was appointed by Republican Governor Rick Snyder. And this, she says, deprived the residents of Flint of their democratic rights.
They said who they wanted to make decisions on their behalf, and that voice was taken away from them. And decisions were made, and people were done, things were done for people and to people that they had no voice in and no buy-in in.
And, you know, there's this T-shirt that people wear, Flint Lives Matter. that I saw people wearing there. And I think that that sort of encapsulates what a lot of people are feeling there, that the rest of society abandoned them.
And that we still need to pay attention.
Exactly.
What did you take from this experience in Flint, like as a reporter working on environmental issues here in Pittsburgh?
I gotta say, none of what I saw in Flint seemed all that far-fetched coming from Pittsburgh. You know, we had our own lead crisis beginning a couple of years ago. And I mean, the cities are remarkably similar. You have this historically depopulated industrial city, a city that's heavily racially segregated, a city under state supervision for its finances, which Pittsburgh was for a while. And in both Pittsburgh and Flint, cost-cutting measures really led to the lead crisis. In Pittsburgh, it was a change in chemicals. In Flint, it was a change in water source. Someone at the conference said there are many Flints out there because the things you need to have in place for a crisis like what happened in Flint are everywhere in America. They're not just in Flint.
Well, thank you so much, Reed.
Thank you.
The Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier was in Flint, Michigan for the Society of Environmental Journalists annual conference. This is The Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.